Well, this evening, we're not going to be focusing on one specific portion of the Word of God or taking one particular text. Rather, as we go through, we'll be looking at a number of references in the Word of God. That's because we want to take a brief overview tonight of one particular theme that is mentioned from time to time in the New Testament. The theme we want to consider is the need for believers to be steadfast in the things of God. To be steadfast, as you would know, conveys the thought of being faithful, of being resolute, and demonstrating real stability in the things of God. And that's what we're going to be considering tonight. The first scripture reference we're going to be looking at is over in the Epistle to the Colossians. Epistle to the Colossians will be the main verse you want to look at. It's over in chapter 2. But I want, first of all, just by way of introduction, to read the first 8 verses of the chapter 1 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. It's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, Paul, although he wrote this epistle to the Colossians, it was not one of the churches that he was involved at the beginning, or that he was founded as a result of Paul's ministry. In fact, it's evident when we read on that he had never met these people in the flesh. Verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." These people were not known to Paul, as would have been the case in some of the other churches where he had ministered to them and where he had been instrumental in the formation of those churches. But he had heard of them, and he had heard of their faith. We see that in verse 4, where he says to them, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints." So he's introducing himself. He's writing this epistle to encourage them. Even though he had never been there to preach, he's writing this epistle to encourage them in the things of God. He had heard of their faith. He had heard of that faith from Epaphras. We see down there, as he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras was the one who had more to do in ministering to this congregation, and it was him who had told Paul about them and told Paul something of their faith and of their standing as believers. Now, in writing to encourage and exhort this church at Colossae, Paul picked out one characteristic that we read of. And it is, he picked that out for special commendation. And it's found there in the chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and the verse 5. It says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And that's what we're looking at tonight, steadfastness. And the first point that we're looking at is the need to be steadfast in the faith. That is the foundation for everything else. We need to be steadfast in the faith, as these people were. And Paul was encouraged by that fact, because he refers to the fact that he was joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. It was something that Paul believed, I believe, he recognized it as fundamental to the prosperity of the church there at Colossae. The fact that they were steadfast in the faith. And that's the first thing we need to be when we come to this matter of steadfastness in the things of God. We need to be steadfast in the faith, because that is the foundation of everything else within our Christian lives. And as we look at that, and as we see the store that Paul set upon this particular characteristic, this steadfastness in the faith, we need to ask ourselves, how do we develop that same characteristic in our lives? How do we have that faithful foundation in the faith? Now, if we turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 14. And here Paul, of course, is writing to another of the early churches. He's writing to the Ephesians. And he said he had to, it was a different complexion there in relation to the Ephesians as compared to the Colossians. Paul was not able to commend their steadfastness in the faith here, but rather in verse 14 he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now this shows certainly a lack of maturity in the things of God, and he refers to them then there at the beginning. He refers to children, that we be more, no more children. I suppose Paul was saying to them in a way, you need to grow up. You need to grow up spiritually. Get away from just that being children in the faith, and as a result of that, not being grounded in the faith, not being steadfast in the faith, not being grounded in the doctrines of the faith. They were able to be tossed about and carried about with every wind of doctrine that came along. There was instability in the church at Ephesus. And we've got to learn from that. Paul is saying to them that they need to be no more children. We need to mature in the things of God, especially young believers. We need to grow in grace, as it tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." That is something that we have to do. We think of other verses as well, where we can think of that occasion when people were taught as new babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word. There needs to be spiritual growth. We need to get to grips with when we're saved, We need to start to get to grips with the scriptures, with the word of God, learn what it contains, learn the basic doctrines of the word of God, and become more mature in the things of God. And you know, we do that through studying the word of God, through reading the word of God, and through seeking day by day to learn more of the things of God and of the scriptures. That's why it's so important that we do set aside time to consider the scriptures, to read the word of God, to have that time when we have a study, when we read different portions of the word of God, and get to know what the Lord is saying to us. So reading the word of God is important in relation to growing in grace and getting to know the word of God. Of course, being regular in our attendance at the means of grace, being under the sound of the word of God on a regular basis is also important, so that we learn and are instructed in the things of God. And you know, that's how we become steadfast in the faith. We need to be steadfast in the faith. First of all, in order to resist the attacks of the devil. If we turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and the verses 8 and 9. Peter writing in this epistle, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast," there we have that word again, "steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So we resist the devil when he comes as an adversary to us, when he attacks us. How do we resist the devil? Well, it has been by having become steadfast in the faith. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was carried away and was tempted of the devil 40 days, how on every occasion the Lord said, "It is written." He referred to the word of God. And you know, that's how we resist the devil. And that's how we overcome and resist his attacks. And that's how we become steadfast in the faith. And we need to be steadfast in the faith as well. If we are to fulfill the requirements of the word of God upon us. If we looked over at the little epistle of Jude, just before Revelation, and the verse 3, where Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's one of our responsibilities as believers, to contend for the faith and to defend the faith. And again, it's only as we are steadfast in the faith, as we have developed in the faith, as we have got to know the doctrines of the faith, that we are in the position to do fulfill that requirement that we find in Jude chapter verse 3. And you know, I started off with the need to be steadfast in the faith, because it's only as we're firmly established in our belief and doctrine that we can go on to be steadfast in other aspects of our Christian lives. So, first point, need to be steadfast in the faith. Then we need to be steadfast in prayer. If we turn over to the epistle of James, and we're going to read from chapter 1, and we're going to read the verses 5 down to 8. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, this portion doesn't use the word steadfast, but yet when you look at it, and it warns against wavering, when it warns against instability, then, of course, what it is essentially doing is calling for us to be steadfast. And it's very remarkable there how important it is in verse 7 when James says, this is the man who wavereth when he comes to the Lord in prayer. When his faith is weak and he's wavering, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's quite a stark warning. The consequences of wavering in faith when we pray are set forth quite starkly in this portion that we've looked at. Look at verse 7, as we have done. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, we'll not turn to it, but it's a small verse, just three words: pray without ceasing. Steadfastness and persistence, which is another angle of steadfastness, is essential when in our prayer life and when we come to seek the Lord. There are other examples in Scripture. Over in Luke 18, at the beginning of that chapter, you perhaps remember how there was the parable of the unjust judge. And it starts off by saying that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Steadfastness in prayer. And of course, there are other examples as well. That lady that was spoken of there in the parable of the unjust judge, you remember the judge, he wasn't going to give her desire at the start to avenge her of her enemies, but at the end of the day he said he decided that he would do, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Her persistence and her steadfastness in seeking that requirement paid off in the end. And of course, there's another example in Luke chapter 11, where we read of the man who went at midnight to his neighbour to borrow some loaves because he had guests had arrived unexpectedly. And you remember the man was in his bed with his children, and at first he wouldn't get up and come down and give him what he needed. But then it says, but because of his importunity, because of his persistence and his steadfastness in asking, the man did get up and gave him all that he required. So we need to be steadfast in our faith. We need to be steadfast in prayer. And then we come, thirdly, to the need to be steadfast in our service for the Lord. And I'm not going to give any praises for the verse that I'm going to turn to now in relation to that, well known to us. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 58. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." And, of course, there at the beginning, we see that there is this exhortation to be steadfast. In fact, it's more than an exhortation. It's a command. It says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable." Paul adds to the word steadfast. He strengthens the whole thing by mentioning being steadfast, then elaborating, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that is the requirement for steadfastness in relation to our service for the Lord. Those bits that were added, steadfast, we know what it means. Unmovable, solid as a rock, you might say. Being unmovable, and not only that, but always abounding, not just abounding in the work of the Lord, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's a tall order, and it's hard for us to achieve that, particularly to be so consistent that we're always abounding in the work of the Lord. But that's the challenge to us in the Word of God. We can't fulfill the requirements that are set forth in this verse without a real application and real commitment to the work of God. To live up to the standard that's required, we need to have that devotion, devote ourselves to the Lord's work. And we think of verses that would back this up. For example, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." A demanding verse in the Word of God. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And the Word of God tells us that's just our reasonable service. So there is that call to be steadfast. There is that call to be committed to the things of God. There is something for every child of God to do in the Lord's service. There are no dummy fluters, as they say, in the Lord's band. The Lord has something for us all to do in order to serve him. There are many different roles within the church and many different fields of service. If you look over at 1 Corinthians, well, we're in 1 Corinthians, turn back to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse 28, it lists. It says, "God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings." And if it stopped there, we would be very challenged, most of us, I would imagine. We would find it very hard to fill those roles and fill those positions. But then the next one is the one that I find particularly encouraging, because it just says helps or helpers. That's one that we can all take part in. Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So there is something for us all to do. We can help in the work of God in some way. And I'm glad to say, and it's a blessing that we have in this congregation, that so many people are always ready to help out in the work of God. That's a blessing that we have. And whenever, of course, we have, for example, this week, they have the Holiday Bible Club. There are always plenty of volunteers, plenty of people to assist and to help. And that's good. That's not found everywhere. If there's special outreach and that's announced, you always get a good turnout of people. So people are willing to help. But we need to be ready always to do what we can, to find our niche, as it were, in the work of God, so that we will be able to do what we can and to serve the Lord in that way that we are able to serve the Lord and to work for the Lord. So we need to look out for that. And we need to be ready to volunteer for those things that we can assist with. You know, this congregation of ours is a busy congregation. Many different aspects to the work. We mentioned the children's work. Opportunities there, outreach, there's opportunities there, open air witness, opportunities there, even if it's just standing and identifying with the going forth of the gospel in the open air, that is something for the Lord. There are practical things that can be done, and we have people in the church who are good at the practical aspects, doing things like that. There are other things like the media team. There are plenty of opportunities, and you can find somewhere within the church here to do your part for the Lord and to deploy your skills for the extension of the Lord's table. But we need to be steadfast in that, not just one-off or growing weary or growing tired after a time. We need to be steadfast, and even perhaps when we feel that we're not just feeling like it, we still need to be steadfast and go on and be at that place where we ought to be. Now, finally, I just want to look at what the Word of God says about instability. And of course, instability is the exact opposite of steadfastness. If we turn over to the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 49, we have a real insight in here to the consequences of instability. Here we have Jacob, right at the end of his life. He's on his deathbed, and he gathers his family around them, and he takes on the mantle of prophet. Verse 1, Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." And of course, he's speaking to his sons in their capacity as the head of the heads of the tribes that were following behind them. He's really forecasting the future of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he spoke one by one to his sons. And he's, verse 2, "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. And this is where we need to listen. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. And you know, instability, which is the opposite of being steadfast, it leads to not, it affects our achievement, it curtails our effectiveness. Jacob is saying to Reuben, you have this trait, you've demonstrated, and he wants to show that, but he says, because of that instability, you're not going to excel. Now, Reuben was the oldest of the family. He should have been the one with the birthright. He should have been the one that was the leader. He should have been the one who would be the strongest and the foremost in the family. But because of instability, that wasn't to be the case. Instability, it clearly tells us that it affects and it curtails our effectiveness if we go down that road. And we need to guard against it as best we can. We can be sure that the devil will always be there attempting to destabilize our service for the Lord. And I acknowledge and know that it's hard to remain steadfast. And, you know, your mind turns to that verse over in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10, where it says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And we can sometimes identify with that, can't we? That even in the Lord's work, it is difficult not to grow weary at times. Yet the Bible warns us, Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. And that's a difficult one. I'm sure we all feel that we grow weary at times. It's part of the human condition. We get weary. We're not naturally steadfast in keeping going, particularly in the things of God. And I'm sure we can all identify with that. And every now and again, at least I do, and you probably do as well, we need to gee ourselves up a bit spiritually. We find that we're starting to slack, that we're not being as steadfast as we should be, that we're growing a bit weary, you know, and we need to take stock and we need to give ourselves that G up in a spiritual sense. And that's why we've turned tonight to this particular theme. We're approaching the beginning of a new season's work in the congregation. All the different aspects of the work will be commencing again, starting up. And it's a good time to have a look at ourselves, to take stock, and to remember the level of commitment that the Word of God requires of us, and, as it were, to rededicate ourselves to the work of God. I have a need for that as much as you. If I were just to stand here and lecture you about being steadfast, I don't think it would achieve very much. But I can identify with that. And I know myself that I